This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. On the campaign trail in New Hampshire, Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry said he favors allowing cheaper prescription drugs into the country from Canada and using the buying power of the federal government to drive down prices. Howard Dean wants to lower the limit of individual campaign contributions from $2,000 to $250. Advisors to Dean said he would announce the proposal on Thursday before a candidate debate in the hotly contested Democratic primary. And John Edwards rallied supporters with his smooth southern drawl and touted his South Carolina roots, telling that state's voters he can win in the South. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. A defense contractor that overcharged the military for helicopter parts could face a criminal investigation, a Pentagon official said Tuesday. Defense Department auditors have determined that Hamilton Sundstrand gave inaccurate and misleading information about the true costs of military helicopter parts, overcharging the military by millions of dollars. Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz is considering whether to launch a criminal probe of the United Technologies Corporation subsidiary, the Defense Department said, speaking on condition of anonymity. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A tiny Scottish firm has teamed up with a U.S. company to start the first industrial-scale production in America of Scotland's national dish, haggis. The partners believe the joint venture with a Chicago-based food processor can move 300,000 tins of the offal-based delicacy in its first year. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink, wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Boy, I feel like I feel like I'm hungover from last night. Good God, if you weren't with us last night, we had George Bush on this program for over an hour last night. It was very strange. He wouldn't take any questions, but we let him talk and talk and talk and talk. Program tonight produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. Or you can email us at mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. I went to White Rose Society and downloaded the archive of the program from last night and listened for the first hour and 10 minutes, which I never do. I just don't do it because I can't stand to hear myself. I'm just like you, right? You can't stand to hear yourself on tape. I can't stand to hear myself on the internet. Oh, God. But what a strange evening it was last night. You know, Howard Dean and George Bush and the Democratic response and just all the craziness, right? We'll get to that tonight. We'll take a sober look at some of the some of Bush's State of the Union comments last night, plus some comments from him, just two, from his he was in Toledo, Ohio today. Apparently, my hometown, and at a community college. well, there's a story there. I'll get to it. Does anybody really believe this doofus can create jobs? You know, he's what is it now? We've lost 3.5 million jobs since he illegally seized power in this country. But before we get to all that, a couple of items caught my eye today that were just horrendous. Just when you think nothing can turn your stomach. In American culture or American society, Just when you think you are totally immunized, just when you think, Jesus, I have, you know, in my lifetime I've seen it all in this country. I've seen death and disease and illness and poverty and tragedy and chaos and the complete whoring of what's left of American culture. And I mean, just on and on. You can make your own list, right? You get to a point eventually where you think nothing can shock me. Something shocked me. And I'm not easily shockable. Here it is. Tourism. That's right. Tourism officials in San Mateo County in California cheered wildly yesterday, according to the New York Times, when a judge announced that the murder trial of Scott Peterson would be moved there to San Mateo County. The tourism officials cheered wildly. Anne LeClaire, who's the president and chief executive of the San Mateo County Convention Visitors Bureau, said, "You couldn't hear a screaming? This is wonderful!" Moving the murder trial there. Ms. LeClaire predicted the trial, or more precisely the news coverage it's expected to generate, will inject at least $8 million into the county's economy. She said, "I haven't had time to play back all of my voicemails. Every time I talk to somebody, more voicemails come in." Now, remember, the Peterson trial, this is about a guy who's accused of killing his wife and who happened to be pregnant. Or as the indictment or the news media says, he killed his wife and his unborn son. Now, in choosing San Mateo County, which is about 70 miles from the alleged crime's occurrence, the judge said the trial would be close enough to Modesto, California, where all this is going on, for the convenience of the prosecution and the witnesses, but far enough away to distill some of the emotion of the case. They could move this case to Burlingame, Vermont. Is there such a place, Kathy? I don't know. The way media has covered it, what, there's a place in the United States? Is there a place in the United States that has not heard of the Lacey Scott Peterson murder trial and death and so on? No, there is not. But that's not the reason I'm sharing the story with you. They cheered. They screamed. They applauded. They clapped to find out that a notorious murder trial is being moved to their community. The $8 million that the news media will spend there will go into the economy. This is an area that's in the job doldrums, is the way they put it, because of the dot-com collapse and because of Bush's economic policies. Anything. We'll open gambling. Can we get some Indians in here? You know, Native American. We'll open it. How about a whorehouse? Can we get some whorehouses? Anything. How about a murder trial? Oh, Jesus, can you give us a notorious murder trial? We'd love that. A prison? How about a prison? According to New York Times, wasting no time in capitalizing on the judge's decision, Ms. LeClaire's staff spent much of Tuesday stuffing media packets. She also began brainstorming ways to draw publicity to the county, coming up with one idea to supply journalists with videotapes of houses and neighborhoods in the mostly upscale county to help illustrate reports about jury selection. Ms. LeClaire said,
"You know, I think out of the box, way out. I read a lot of John Grisham books."
Oh, Jesus Christ. This is where we are. This is where we are. Tourism officials in San Mateo County, California, standing up and cheering, backslapping, high-fiving, goosing each other because they are moving a murder trial there. And it will inject $8 million into the local economy. Now, officials in a neighboring county, Santa Clara County,
"Oh, damn, they didn't pick us." Well,
they were also in contention.
I didn't know this was going. Did you know this was going on, Kathy? That there were counties vying for this murder trial? We want it. This is like the Olympics, right? This is like when all the countries go to the Olympic Committee, whatever the hell it's called, you know, where they pay off the Olympic Committee officials and the graft and the prostitution and the gifts and so on and so forth. And Georgia, Atlanta's there, and Salt Lake City's there, and Athens is there, and Paris is there, and Beijing is there, and, you know, they're all goosing each other and whoring around. Please pick our city! Pick us!
Now we do it with murder trials? Oh, my God. Officials in neighboring Santa Clara County, which was also in contention but was not selected, had estimated a four-week trial would cost the host county $300,000. Chump change, Santa Clara County. Chump change. When you're talking about an $8 million income, $300,000, lunch money. Oh, my God. Sick? Is that sick? It's beyond sick. It's perverted. It's Republican. That's how bad it is. This is how bad it is. It is perversion. It is Republican. This is Tom DeLay. This is what's his name? Bennett. This is Newt Gingrich. This is Ronald Reagan. This is perversion. This is awful. This is a county in Northern California whose tourism officials stand up and cheer and high-five and backslap and pinch each other on the ass and wink and scream and jump and say, hey, we got the Scott Peterson murder trial. Hot damn. Meanwhile, internet jobs and manufacturing jobs are going to Mexico, China, and India. But by God... This county, San Mateo County in Northern California, they will get a high-profile murder trial. I have to pause for a moment. Just give me a second here. Get 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you. We have mentioned on this program many times, the pantheon of murderous... killer, blood-drenched dictators that the United States has supported, financed, backed, praised, trained, helped send trained killers into the dictators' countries to murder social activists and Catholics and protesters and union officials, right? Okay. Anastasio Somoza, remember him, the Nicaraguan pig? We have backed so many hogs, so many flesh-eating human pigs that it's hard to keep track. Marcos and Noriega and Batista and the Shah and Somoza. And I mean, it just goes on and on, doesn't it? Of course it does. Well, a nephew of Anastasio Somoza, the dead Nicaraguan dictator. He was gunned down in Miami. He fled here and got killed by somebody, probably a hitman for Ronald Reagan. Oliver North. Somoza knew too much. So he was probably gunned down by the CIA. Anyway, he came to Miami. Well, a nephew of his was sentenced today to 15 months in federal prison for helping to skim more than $5 million from his restaurant chain's cash registers to avoid paying income taxes. Julio Somoza was also ordered to pay a $10,000 fine, serve 2 years of probation. He will report to prison officials within 90 days. Tomorrow, his brother Carlos Somoza will appear in federal court for sentencing in the same case. Two more. Their other partners are Juan, J-U-A-N, Wong, W-N-G. That's his name, Juan Wong. And Abraham Quant, Q-U-A-N-T. They will be sentenced later on this week. The Somozas are nephews of the slain dictator whose family ruled Nicaragua from the 30s to the 70s. Quant and Wong, the other two thugs in this, Quant and Wong served in Somoza's U.S.-trained National Guard, which means that Quant and Wong were torturers, murderers, and rapists, just like, oh, God, how long a list do you want? But when the Somoza regime fell to Daniel Ortega, all these guys immigrated to Miami. They set up a business in 1981. Guess who helped him? Oh, sure. With one Nicaraguan-style restaurant. 20 years later, the chain had expanded to 6 restaurants, and these people say, hey, look, this is America, right? We're Republicans, right? We have to do what Republicans do. Let's steal. Let's cheat. And so they did. So Julio and Carlos are going to prison. Juan Wong and Abraham Quant. Well, they'll deal with the charges later, I guess. Ain't this a great country? Isn't this a great country? Don't you just love it here?
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, so I don't want to beat the story to death, but, you know, here family members and former killers and torturers of the Somoza family, who were wildly supported by, first the United States Congress, then the Boland Amendment was passed to not support the counterinsurgency after Ortega threw these pigs out, overthrew the government. Ortega led the armies that overthrew the government. So they come to this country. The Somoza family comes here, and they bring with them two of their chief torturers, people who would rape
Catholic nuns, people who would assassinate Catholic archbishops. Okay, I mean, these are real degenerate people, okay? These are really bad people, but they are absolute friends of Elliot Abrams, who at the time was working in the Reagan administration. Now he's working in the Bush administration. In the meantime, he's a convicted felon, a friend of John Poindexter, who should have been in prison. Poindexter, at the time, was working out the negotiations to make sure that the killing continued in Nicaragua. Now he is working somewhere deep in the Bush administration. And the list goes on and on. The list goes on and on. All of these people, Cheney was involved, Pappy Bush was involved, even Junior Bush. All of these people, and you wonder why I call them killers and murderers. You know, I get emails every once in a while that make it through the filtering system that say, you know, you're a real son of a bitch, Malloy. Why don't you get out of the United States? Why don't you go someplace, you know, where your mother can have sex with the communists that you seem to love? And that's some of the milder stuff, right? You think I make this up? For the people who send me those kinds of emails, you people are dumber than dog doo-doo. Do you know that? You have no idea of what you're talking about. No idea. Or you do. You do understand the history of this country in the past 30 years, and you love it because you're an incipient closet murderer and nun-raper yourself. That's all I can come up with. But I get a story today that says 5 million people, this is from the Toronto Sun, 5 million people are on a U.S. list of terrorists and criminals. Do you suppose that these four murderers and killers and rapists from the Somoza family, the Somoza regime, do you think they would have wound up on a list like that? No, they were running a restaurant, a chain of restaurants in Miami. Isn't that nice? A chain of restaurants in Miami. Can any of us try to guess how much blood, human blood, is on the hands of these four people, the Somoza brothers and these two former members of the Somoza so-called National Guard, the killers, the rapists, and terrorists, were probably trained at the School of the Americas in Columbus, Georgia, Fort Benning. Huh? Can we guess how many buckets of blood, of dark blood, red blood, guts, stomach, intestines dumped all over the floor from these pigs in their torture rooms and their rape rooms that George Bush loves to talk about in Iraq that his father supported in Nicaragua? And these people own a chain of restaurants in Miami. And now they're going to jail for tax, income tax evasion. Hey, we are in Florida. Jeb Bush, he's a good, I know his father. I knew his father very well. His father used to send us money so we could kill Nicaragua and some of the Indians. We can do anything we want. We are in America now. We're Republican. Are we not Republican? Let's steal the money. We don't have to pay nothing. What? Are you crazy? Pay taxes? I used to kill people. I used to rip heads off. You want me to pay taxes? Oliver North, Elliot Abrams, John Poindexter, Richard Secord, Ronald Reagan, Pappy Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, their old buddies.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called Eco Talk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it. Live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
EcoTalk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Well, I'm sorry. I got off on a tangent there. Who cares about Nicaragua? Nicaragua, right? That was a long time ago, man. That was 24 years ago. Nobody cares about that anymore. Just a story caught my eye about the Somoza family members, two nephews of Anastasio Somoza, who were going to prison, and their two partners in this restaurant chain in Miami were former National Guard, Nicaraguan National Guard members, which means they were killers, they were murderers, they were terrorists. And what do you want to bet that their name is on no John Ashcroft terrorist list? Oh, well. Job in San Diego. Emailed in with what he calls a Republican prayer. He says, I was watching C-SPAN this morning and caught the morning Christian prayer in Congress. I thought it might be fitting to open your show with a prayer, too. The Republican prayer. Well, Job, I don't know why I would have a Republican prayer, but what the hell? Here it is. Our Father, who art in the White House, hallowed be thy name. Thy empire extended, free will be imposed in Iraq as it is in America. Give us this day our no-bid contracts, and hand them to our corporate sponsors, as we smite those who trespass against them. And lead us not into socialism, but deliver us from the queers. For thine is the empire, and death, and war, forever and ever. Amen. Okay, Job, that's cool, but aren't you mixing up the so-called the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm there just a little bit? Maybe Job is, I don't know, maybe he's Hindu or something. It doesn't. But that's good. I like that, Job. I like that. That's pretty good. Although, it kind of reminds me, the other night we were watching the a tape. Kathy had taped the audition part of American Idol. Do you all watch that on Fox Network? Not Fox News Channel, Fox Network. I know it's the same. The audition part with who are those three people? Simon and Garfunkel? No. Paula Abdul, Randy somebody, and Simon somebody, right? Okay, so those three are the judges, and people come in and audition to be on American Idol. I'll tell you something. If you are a sadist, if you like to see other people in agony, you need to watch this program. Not an American Idol. I'm talking about the audition part. the spinoff part, where these poor people come in. Oh my God, who think they are talented. Now, I don't know why Job from San Diego's prayer reminds me of that, but no, Job, I like your prayer. I really like your prayer. It's just, you know, it just struck me. I've got the audition for that tape, the audition of American Idol, on my mind. It was fascinating. Last night, 1:30 in the morning, Kathy's watching this. I came up out of the bunker and said, "What are you doing?" She said, "God, you ought to see it." So I stepped into the TV room or into the den to watch this for just a second. 45 minutes later, I'm still standing there. Kathy said, "Why don't you sit down?" It was really, really funny. Okay, the day after, here we are. Nancy Lessen is a founding member of Military Families Speak Out. She organized a protest last night outside the Capitol as Bush gave his State of the Union address. We talked about that, the people holding candles in the names of the 500 dead. Nancy Lessen said today, quote, "Bush says no one can now doubt the word of America in his speech. But from his distortions about Iraqi weapons of mass destruction to his claiming to care about our soldiers in Iraq while not providing them with the basic necessities in a war that they shouldn't even be engaged in, he's shown that his word cannot be trusted." Well, Nancy, you're right. He's a liar. He's a coward. He's a sneak. He's a cheat. He's a Republican. His word cannot be trusted. But America, foreigners, people outside our borders are not completely aware, I don't think, of how Bush stabs in the back veterans in this country. Whether it's veterans' health care or school districts that rely on government subsidies for their tax base, for their schools, so their kids can get what passes for an education in this country while they, the moms and dads, are over killing Iraqis or being killed in the name of Dick Cheney, Halliburton, Bechtel, and Bush. So I don't know. When Bush says no one can doubt the word of America, Nancy, I think what the rest of the world gets is, well, we better toe the line or the son of a bitch will come over here and bomb us. He'll overthrow our government. He'll kill us. Mike Gravel used to be in the U.S. Senate. He was the man who entered the Pentagon Papers into the congressional record way back in the 70s. Last summer, he warned all of us that Bush's evidence, so-called, regarding Iraq was a bunch of nonsense. And he urged Congress last summer not to pass a Gulf of Tonkin-type resolution. For those of you who don't remember Gulf of Tonkin, Lyndon Johnson was told some of our Navy ships had been fired upon. Turns out it was a damn lie, and it cost us 58,000 dead Americans, 2 million dead Indochinese. Anyway, Mike Gravel says, quote, "Bush is triumphantly applauded by a Congress he deceived. Congress impeached Clinton over his Lewinsky lies, but what is it going to do about Bush's lies in Iraq? The State of the Union is in trouble. Its economy is being bankrupted by Bush and the Congress, and the Congress is whistling in the graveyard." Well, Senator Gravel, what will the Congress do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, because the Congress is controlled, the Senate and the House are controlled by Republicans, and Republicans are murderous liars. They are sneaks, they are cowards, and they are cheats. and the opposition, with a few notable exceptions in the Democratic Party, the opposition is all wobbly-legged, and they're terrified of doing anything for fear that Karl Rove might send a packet of anthrax to them. Rahul Mahajan is author of the book Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. He's an American. He's just back from Iraq. And he said today, quote, I saw no evidence of any reconstruction worthy of mention in all of Baghdad, a city of 6 million people. Not only has nothing been rebuilt, even the rubble from bombed out buildings hasn't been swept up. The new government, quote, quote, of Iraq has been deliberately given no power and no authority. The talk of transfer of sovereignty is nonsense. The claim that the United States does not seek to dominate or to be an empire is hardly compatible with long-term plans to leave over 100,000 American troops in Iraq. The claim that these new imperial policies have nothing to do with fighting fighting Al-Qaeda is particularly hollow, and it's no accident that there was no mention of Osama bin Laden in Bush's speech last night. Further, the proposal that Bush made to double the budget of the National Endowment for Democracy poses a clear and present danger to democracy everywhere. In the past 4 years, the National Endowment of Democracy, among other things, was involved in buying the 2000 Yugoslavian elections and plotting and funding the 2002 coup attempt in Venezuela. National Endowment for Democracy. You know, I hate newspeak. I hate the corruption of language, unless I corrupt it. Well, I corrupt it here every night. But when people in official positions of power, or unofficial positions of power, whatever, corrupt language like this, the National Endowment for Democracy, my ass. This is the National Endowment for overthrowing and destroying the will of the people, no matter where the people live and no matter what they choose to do. This is an Oliver North front organization. This is something that was involved in the murder and torture and rape and disappearance and beatings and deaths and burials alive in Central America throughout the 80s. National Endowment for Democracy. And Bush mentions it in the State of the Union address. God. Gwendolyn Mink. She's the author of Welfare's End. She's co-editor of Welfare, a documentary history of U.S. policy and politics. She said today, Bush threatens to value marriage by amending the Constitution to prevent committed, stable, loving couples from marrying if they happen to be of the same sex. At the same time, he's proposed $1.5 billion marriage promotion policy to pressure poor single mothers to cure their poverty by finding a husband to support them. Taken as a whole, the Bush marriage initiative actually undermines marriage, transforming it from an intimate union between individuals to a government weapon to police and enforce heterosexual patriarchy. By turning marriage into a governmental institution, Bush aims to reverse 40 years of constitutional jurisprudence that makes intimate liberty a cornerstone of democratic equality. What's more, linking government marriage policy to God, religion, and his faith-based initiative, as he did last night, Bush aims to undo more than 200 years of our national commitment to separation of church and state. Well, yeah, of course. Healthcare, jobs. How many lies were you able to stomach last night? It just didn't stop, did it? Just didn't stop. You know what my favorite was? It wasn't a lie. It was actually an admission of a greater lie, the greater lie that he told last year that now has resulted in 500-plus dead Americans, 11,000 estimate dead Iraqis, 6, 7, 8, 9,000 injured Americans, some of them with arms and legs blown off. The lie he told last year, the series of lies that he told last year during the State of the Union address that led to war and death and destruction. Now? Oh, God. Bush made no mention of the failure to locate nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons in Iraq. Here's what he said. We are seeking all the facts. Already, the K report identified dozens of weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Can you believe that? The K report identified dozens of weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Compare that to what he said last year that has resulted in the deaths of thousands of people and the destruction of an entire country. Think about it. Think about the American families whose sons and daughters are dead because this man lied. Oh, my God. And we impeached Bill Clinton because he lied about something he did one assumes on his own time. I don't know how much time of a sitting president is his own time. George Bush lies, thousands of people die, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. Dozens of weapons of mass destruction-related program activities. Kay also, since Bush is talking about the Kay report, David Kay's report, Kay also told the House and Senate Intelligence Committees the following, quote, "We have not found stocks of weapons. We have not been able to corroborate the existence of a mobile biological weapons production effort. Multiple sources tell us that Iraq did not have a large, ongoing, centrally controlled chemical warfare program after 1991. And to date, we have not uncovered evidence that Iraq undertook significant post-1998 steps to actually build nuclear weapons or produce fissile material. And no detainee has admitted any actual knowledge of plans for unconventional warheads for any current or any planned ballistic missile." That's David Kay, hired by the Bush crime family to go produce evidence. And even he can't completely lie. He's got to say, well, this is what we found. Nothing! So Bush stands there and says the K report identified dozens of weapons of mass destruction related program activities. And here we are, the day after the State of the Union speech, coming up on a year since the invasion of Iraq. The death and destruction continues in Iraq. Americans are still coming home in pieces, in boxes. American families are mourning the families of American soldiers, both men and women. Iraqi families are still being blown to pieces. Children in Iraq, civilians in Iraq, are being dismembered, are being ripped to shreds, their flesh, their bones, their teeth, their eyeballs splattered all over the streets of Baghdad and the other cities there. American soldiers are having arms and legs and hands and feet blown off. They're having holes blown into their midsections the size of a bushel basket. Their heads are flying off. Their eyes are being shot out because this man lied and continues to lie. How does it feel, America? How does this feel? Huh? How does this feel? How does this feel? You know how it feels to me? It's painful. It's disgusting. It's contemptible. It's awful. Absolutely awful. How many people died in Gulf War I? How many American people? Allah only knows how many Iraqis died. But Americans, what was it, 237? 212? 217? Nobody knows anymore. 504, 506 Americans dead in Iraq because this man, this filthy, cowardly man, stood there and lied. His Secretary of State lied. His Secretary of Defense lied. His National Security Advisor lied. And he's still in office.
And he lies, and he lies. He just lies and he lies and he lies and he lies. He can lie any time, he can lie any place. He crosses his fingers and keeps a straight face. He lies and he lies and he lies.
A peace, free, and secure Iraq in the midst of the Middle East will have enormous historical impact.
He lies and he lies and he lies.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, Take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Yeah. Five before the hour. Oh, by the way, my friend Shelby Lepre over at RadioPower.org is prostrating herself, figuratively speaking, about trying to keep the server on there. If you pick up this program or pick up the archives through RadioPower.org, which is through iTunes, hey, she still has to pay the server bill for this month, and I know y'all get tired of hearing me say this, and you won't have to hear me say it too much longer, trust me. But as long as you are tuned into the program, as long as I am on the air, you might consider going to radiopower.org and maybe making a contribution to that particular website. I know everybody's beating up on you for money. I understand. I really understand. But if you happen to have a few extra bucks, radiopower.org, if you listen through that website, she's about to go under. It's not going to take too much to keep her on the air or to tilt her under. So it's up to y'all. I'm just mentioning it. And if you've already made a contribution, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who perhaps listen through that site and haven't made a contribution. And we're not talking about a lot of money here, unless you're a rich liberal. If you're a rich liberal, why haven't you, kicked in a few hundred or a couple of thousand to RadioPower.org? You know, if you're a rich liberal. Check it out, please, RadioPower.org. All right, Ypsilanti, Michigan, Bureau Chief is checking in. Barry. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing tonight?
Doing fine, sir.
I got to say, I really get a kick out of your Rumsfeld on acid routine there.
Oh, God.
Get the spiders off of me.
I know.
Anyway.
I just read too much Hunter Thompson in my formative years, and yeah. You know, that's where that comes from.
In the wake of the State of the Union address, though, I was driving today, and, you know, just when you think it couldn't get any worse, and
yeah.
You keep talking about how, if we don't do something quick, it's going to be over.
Right.
I think it's over, Mike.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Well, I was listening to NPR on the way home today in my car.
Yeah.
And I had a Sam Kinison moment.
Oh, God.
The, oh!
right.
Do you know anything about, Congress just came back, and they have to pass 7 spending bills to keep the government running this year.
Can you hold on?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a break, and I want to hear this, Barry.
Okay.
Anybody who uses omnibus spending bill and Sam Kinison in the same paragraph has got my attention.
All right.
So stay right there. We'll come back in a moment. And the rest of y'all, stay with us, okay? We have 2 more hours to go before we sleep tonight. Come on. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. On the campaign trail in New Hampshire, Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry said he favors allowing cheaper prescription drugs into the country from Canada and using the buying power of the federal government to drive down prices. Howard Dean wants to lower the limit of individual campaign contributions from $2,000 to $250. Advisors to Dean said he would announce the proposal on Thursday before a candidate debate in the hotly contested Democratic primary. And John Edwards rallied supporters with his smooth southern drawl and touted his South Carolina roots, telling that state's voters he can win in the South. A defense contractor that overcharged the military for helicopter parts could face a criminal investigation, a Pentagon official said Tuesday. Defense Department auditors have determined that Hamilton Sundstrand gave inaccurate and misleading information about the true costs of military helicopter parts, overcharging the military by millions of dollars. Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz is considering whether to launch a criminal probe of the United Technologies Corporation subsidiary, the Defense Department said, speaking on condition of anonymity. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A tiny Scottish firm has teamed up with a U.S. company to start the first industrial-scale production in America of Scotland's national dish, haggis. The partners believe the joint venture with a Chicago-based food processor can move 300,000 tins of the offal-based delicacy in its first year. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But, in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who...
Hey, welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. We're talking to Barry, our Ypsilanti, Michigan bureau chief, and he had just combined... what did you combine?
Sam Kinison and the omnibus spending bill.
There you go. And I was just so totally overwhelmed with that, it completely got away from me during the break. All right, now the omnibus spending bill, what is it, $700 billion?
$800 billion. It's huge, and it's basically it's seven spending bills that have all been rolled into one.
Yeah.
There's $11 billion in projects that have been added on for states. But you know how we like to put these little riders onto bills that have nothing to do with the bill itself, just to get them through.
Oh, the chunks of pig ass.
Exactly.
Yeah, the huge lards of pork.
Well, and I'm assuming that I heard the story correctly. I was blacking out at the time after I heard this. But here are some things that Bush has put on as provisions to this spending bill. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, do you remember when Congress blocked these rules that Bush wanted to pass that would allow media to conglomerate more?
Right.
Okay. A provision in the bill strips that block.
Oh, of course.
Okay. Next, we will be postponing by 2 years a law that has been passed by Congress that requires food to be labeled with the country of origin.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to postpone it by 2 years so that during that time they can trash it. Now, this is a law that Congress passed.
Yeah.
And without any debate, without any discussion,
This is blocking it. But this is what Republicans do. Republicans are liars. They are sneaks. They are cheats. They are murderers. Their asses are for sale. Their souls are for sale. They will do anything for a buck. They will whore their mothers. They will sell their children. They will give away pieces of their grandparents. Republicans are animals, and that's why this is occurring.
Here's the last one. And Mike, if this happened in a country where the people had any amount of political awareness or civil activism at all, the entire country would go on strike and you'd have hundreds of thousands of people surrounding the White House in protest. The last provision here that's worth mentioning, remember when Bush wanted to do away with overtime protection?
I do.
Where you get time and a half for overtime.
I do.
Congress blocked that.
Aha.
Well, we are now removing the block.
Oh, good.
Okay, so 8 million Americans who now get overtime,
yes,
who now get time and a half overtime, will be working for straight time.
Yeah, isn't that, and you know what? 56% of the American public still supports this pig and his party. Can you believe this? Can you believe it?
What the hell are we doing?
We are stupid. We are stupid, Barry. We are ignorant. We are dumber than frog snot. That's why we support this. Well, of course, you and I don't. People listen to this program don't. So, you know, I'm just shrieking at the choir here, which I don't mean to do.
Well, you know, my question, what are these 8 million people who, get their checks, who work 55 hours a week, and say, hey, what happened, to my time and a half?
Bill Clinton took it.
Yeah, it's Clinton's fault.
It's Hillary Clinton. It's that bitch Hitlery. Is that how they refer to her? That bitch Hitlery Clinton. That's how the right wing refers. It's Hillary Clinton's fault. It's Bill Clinton's fault. That's who took away my overtime, my time and a half. It's Bill Clinton. And the problem here is there will be editorial writers and political operatives who will pump that idea out. Fox News Channel will put that out all over the country. The pig man, the drug-addicted pig man, Rush Limbaugh, and the baby Jesus, Sean Hannity, they will all put this out, and the people who just have their time and a half stolen from them will agree, yeah, it's Clinton's fault.
Well, there's 8 million. If this happened in France, they'd shut the country down.
Oh, in labor, a heartbeat.
Organized labor would shut the country down.
In a heartbeat.
But here, no.
No. We'll just roll over, stick our legs in the air, and that's the end of it. Yeah.
Well, the story ended by saying that the Republicans refused to modify the bill at all, and the Democrats, after voicing their disapproval,
we'll go ahead and vote
for the bill because they don't want to be responsible for shutting down the country.
There you go.
What the?
Yeah, it's.
Ow!
this is where we live, Barry. This is where we live. And
it's over, Mike. It's all. If he can do this, if he can nullify laws, if he can nullify blocks to things and just push. It's over. Isn't it over?
No, not yet, because the revolution hasn't started yet.
Well, I have one gun.
Well, you need to get more. You never know when burglars are going to break into your house. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Thanks, Barry.
Yep.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. No, we love this. You know what Bill, what Barry talked about? Oh, God, we just love it. We are so willing to put up. We just love this. Screw us over and over again, Republican Party. Take everything away from us. By God, you cut my taxes. You cut my taxes. I love that. Yeah. You cut my federal income tax. Of course, the city, the county, the township, the borough, the state have all raised taxes, and now it costs to take your family to a state park or a national park. Now you find, well, you know how it goes. But by God, George Bush and his Republicans, they didn't cut your taxes? Well,
yeah, he didn't cut mine, but someday when I make $276,000 a year, then I'll have a tax cut. This America. I'm going to do that someday. Mike Malloy, you communist left-wing bastard, you. Someday I'm going to do that.
And you wonder why Bart Kopp calls them pink tutu Democrats? Yeah. Because the Democratic Party, Barry's right. Where was the opposition? Where were the Democrats screaming, walking out, calling up CNN, pounding the pavement, I don't know, turning blue, vomiting all over the something? Where is that? Where is the political theater? Where's working class America? What the hell am I doing sitting in here tonight?
Well, it's cold here in Atlanta, Mike. You don't want to go out in the middle.
Where is the reaction? There's no reaction, no matter what this Republican Party does. We Americans are willing to absorb it and just say,
yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. It must have been that Bill Clinton or Hitlery. Or, I'm sorry, that bitch Hitlery. Can't say Hitlery without modifier on it. That bitch Hitlery. Well, no, wait a minute. No, bitch. No, Hitlery. Oh, I don't know. I get so confused. But I know George Bush is my president, and I'll follow him into hell. Oh, look, I'm already in hell.
Bush went to Toledo, Ohio, my hometown today. He went there to talk about... I almost said masturbate, but I guess I shouldn't say that, should I? He went there to talk about a $500 million job training and educational proposal that he announced in his State of the Union address last night. But what he didn't say, that he recently decided to cut $700 million out of the same job training and education programs. You see how this works? He goes on national television last night, and see, there again, I want to use the M word, and I shouldn't because this is radio. He talks about a $500 million job training education proposal, but in the dark of the night, he and the rest of his Republican vampires cut $700 million. You see how this works? Now, last night, Bush said, I propose increasing our support for America's fine community colleges. Remember that? Of course you do, right? And everybody went, yeah, yeah! But last year, Bush cut $230 million out of community college education money. He also eliminated funding for technical educations. Now, when lawmakers tried to restore the cuts this past April, Bush was adamant that the cuts be preserved, and his allies, the pigs, the Republican pigs in the Senate, voted down the funding. Bush also recently eliminated all $225 million in funding for youth job training grants. You see how this works? This comes from the Daily Mislead today. The Daily Misleader. Daily.misleader.org. Check it out. Okay? The facts are there. The other piece of Bush's proposal involves college funding. Remember last night? I almost choked on my saliva when he said, I propose larger Pell Grants for students. I thought, wait a minute. And it slipped my mind. His recent decision to cut the Pell Grant program by $270 million. That's a move that his own education department admits will cut off 84,000 students from Pell Grants and reduce the grants for an additional 1 million students. And here we sit! And we listen to this. So he goes to Toledo today. He goes to Toledo. He goes to Owens Community College in Toledo. That's where he goes. To talk about his job training programs and to talk good stuff about two-year schools, which is what Owens Community College is. A couple of days ago, six Owens employees who handle workforce development plans were fired. They were laid off. There's no money. That's according to my old newspaper, the Toledo Blade. Yeah? Huh? It says here, others with the college's Center for Development and Training who confirmed to the Blade that they have received pink slips were Dr. Joseph Conrad, Director of Health and Wellness, Jim Kronberg, Director of Spatial Products, Donna Brex, Record Specialist, Veronica Rice, Record Specialist, all work on the Perrysburg Township campus, blah, 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 blah. Owens College President Krista Adams called the personnel action a realignment. She and other officials were busy preparing for the president's visit today and could not be reached for further comment. You see, isn't this what happens? God help you if your employer, I don't care who your employer is, if your employer comes to you and says, hey, guess what? Sit down, everybody. Here, you're not going to believe this. Everybody, are you sitting down? George Bush is coming to our factory or our school or our college or our training center. George Bush is coming. Yes, he is, and he's going to give a speech. Oh, isn't this? Wait a minute. What am I saying? The son of a bitch is coming here? Oh, my God. That means we're all going to be unemployed. Oh, my God. That means the factory's shutting down. Oh, that means that the school's closing. Oh, that means that the Pell Grants are going to run out. Oh, that means that the military is coming. Oh, my God. It means that the end is coming. It's right here. The end is near. Ah!
You got to rob Peter. Pay that call. You used to stand up straight, but now you got to crawl.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour here, David sent me an email. He said, on the news tonight, the Republicans actually said that the gay marriage problem was more important to Americans than environmental issues. Well, I didn't hear that, David, but I'm not the least bit surprised, because to Republicans, it's true. It's true. You know, while we all die because we can't breathe, or we can't eat the food, or we can't drink the water, it's okay as long as we all die with those damn queers unmarried. At the Owens Community College today in Perrysburg, Ohio, actually talking about jobs and the economy in Ohio. The manufacturing sector in Ohio, which has been utterly, totally destroyed. I think that's where he's talking. I can't really figure this one out. You listen.
There are some things we can do to make sure the Ohio manufacturing sector is strong. One is to make sure our trading partners understand we expect there to be free, but the playing field needs to be level. And we expect countries like China to understand that trade imbalances doesn't mean... that says that the trade is not balanced and fair.
What?
That they got to deal with their currency.
Now, if you're an unemployed factory worker in Toledo tonight, and you tune in to WTOL or one of the television stations in Toledo, and you see this pathetic bastard say that, here's the president of the United States. That's what it says underneath him there on the TV, Marge. It says right there. See that? It says president. Yes, indeed. When you hear, I want you to play it again, Kathy. You're unemployed. Your unemployment insurance is out. Your job is now at a white slaver a factory in China. Bush is in Ohio for one reason, and that is to spew his lies to try to get Ohioans to vote for him again. And there you sit, and this evil buzzard comes out and says this.
There are some things we can do to make sure the Ohio manufacturing sector is strong. One is to make sure our trading partners understand we expect there to be free, but the playing field needs to be level.
Uh-huh.
And we expect countries like China to understand that trade imbalances doesn't mean that says that the trade is not balanced and fair.
Oh, okay.
That they got to deal with their currency.
Now there you sit. You're about 30 days away from having a foreclosure on your house. You've already lost your SUV and your Jeep, and they're about to come and take your old lady's minivan. Your kid has been fired from his job at JCPenney's. Your other kid has had to drop out of school now, the community college, because you can't afford the tuition. He can't find a job. And there he is, and the president is saying, well, here's what we can do to make sure that the Ohio manufacturing sector is strong. Now, keep in mind, the Ohio manufacturing sector is gone. It doesn't exist. But he says, here's what we can do to make it strong. Well, let our trading partners know that we expect there to be a level playing field. Now, that really impresses me. I'm an unemployed factory worker in Ohio. We need to let our trading partners know that we expect the playing field to be level. Okay, all right. We also expect countries like China to understand that trade has to be balanced and fair. Okay, will that help me keep my house? Will that get my kid back in school? Will that help my wife get her gallbladder operation because we don't have insurance? Because I'm not working, haven't worked for 18 months, and my insurance has run out, and I can't afford the Cobra anymore? Is that what it means, George? Oh, and last thing. to make sure the Ohio manufacturing sector is strong, we've got to make sure that China deals with their currency. There you go. China has to deal with their currency. Now, I'm an unemployed factory worker who is about two steps, or about two chambers away from suicide. I'm about 20 minutes away from killing my entire family and then killing myself because I'm an Ohioan. I voted for this son of a bitch. I thought I was doing the right thing. And I'm unemployed. I've been unemployed. My kid has been tossed out of school. My wife that needs gallbladder surgery, she's going to die. I'm just going to kill them all. That's what I'll do. I'll just kill everybody and commit. But I have to make sure that China's currency is right. That's what I need to do. Yeah.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called EcoTalk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it, live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier, and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
EcoTalk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
You know, and the media makes a big deal about Howard Dean's anger. Oh, he's an angry man. I have, in my career, put up with half-witted, jerk-watered program directors who say, well, Mike, you need to tone it down a little bit. And George Bush stands there in Ohio. For God's sake, in industrial Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, I grew up there. In the 50s, it was a great place to grow up. Everybody had a job. Everybody was a member of a union. All the dads were. The mothers, God help us all, stayed home. Well, except the ones who were school teachers, principals, waitresses, and nurses. That's the way it was back then. And one person could go out and earn a living and support an entire family. And there were jobs. There were jobs for days. The big dream when you were in high school in Toledo, you only had, in the 50s, you had three dreams. Either join the military, go to college, or come right out of high school and go to work at one of the huge factories that provided a feeder industry for the Detroit automotive industry. And if you got one of those jobs and joined the United Auto Workers or joined the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers or joined whatever union was in that shop, you knew that you had 30 years, maybe 40. You'd always make a good living. You'd go slowly insane, yes, because that's what a mass production, a capitalism does to you. Yes, you would go insane. But at least you would go insane with a roof over your head and food in your belly and shoes on your children's feet and the hope, the dream that maybe your kids wouldn't do the same and they could escape. They could get the hell out of Toledo, Ohio. Get away from the factories. Go somewhere else. But they didn't think that out loud. You could make a living in Toledo, Ohio at one time. Yes, you would go slowly mad. Yes, you lived a life of quiet desperation. But by God, you could make a living. George Bush stands up there with a decimated economy. Next time you're going someplace important, if you ever get a chance to go through downtown Toledo, please do it. Please go through downtown Toledo. Do it at the middle of a day, in the middle of the week, and get the feel of a ghost town. And there Bush stands and says to the unemployed workers, and you know what he said today was all over the 6 o'clock news tonight in Toledo, Ohio, all over the news at 11 o'clock tonight in Toledo, Ohio, or it will be in less than half an hour. There he stands. I wonder if the program directors for the three or four or five television stations in Toledo will play the soundbite where he says that the way to restore the economic manufacturing base in Toledo, Ohio, is to make sure the Chinese address their currency problem. Still at the last one, and then your phone call. Still at the Owens Community College in Perrysburg, Ohio, which is a wonderful little town. Do you know who settled in Perrysburg, Ohio? There are a lot of rich people in Perrysburg, Ohio. Trust me. The Edward Drummond Libby family. You've heard of Libby Glass? Yeah. That family. The ones who endowed the Toledo Museum of Art, which is a world-class museum of art. You wouldn't believe it. First time I took Kathy to Toledo, I said, you want to go to the art museum? She said, snicker, snigger. Yeah, okay. Thinking to herself, well, they have a couple of paintings from... We went down there. Three huge marble-encrusted buildings loaded with art. And Kathy was like, oh, I had no idea. The Libby family, the Owens family, hence the name Owens Community College, the Ford family. There were rich families in the Stranahan family. Rich families, and every city has them, right? Perrysburg, Ohio. If you go to Perrysburg, Ohio, oh, it's right on the Maumee River. Oh, my God, some of the homes, so beautiful, so gorgeous. But go into Toledo. Go where the unions used to be, where the workers used to live. Go into the crack-infested, broken-down neighborhoods. Go to Tony Paco's on the north side. Look at the neighborhood around, all over the city, north, south, east side, west side. And how to solve that horrible economic mess? Well, very simple, George Bush says. Make sure that foreign countries understand we want a level playing field and that the Chinese address their currency problems. That'll do it. But he had to get in a little pitch for the Patriot Act while he was there, supposedly to talk about the importance of community colleges in job training at a community college where the jobs were just cut. But first he's got to discuss his glorious Patriot Act and why Congress has got to renew it.
I called for the renewal of the Patriot Act. I want to tell you why.
Okay.
It is important that we be able to share information at the federal level.
Oh, that, yeah.
It's important we have the authority to be able to seize assets.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
These tools in the Patriot Act, most of the tools we have been using for years against embezzlers or criminals.
Oh, okay.
We're at war. It seems like to me it is logical that we apply tools that we've used to catch embezzlers to be able to catch terrorists.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it, George? It does seem logical to you. That's because you're a jackass. That's because you're a moron. When we have, when you say the tools in the Patriot Act, most of the tools we've been using for years against embezzlers or criminals, you are a liar. You are a stinking, filthy Republican liar. Because when we go after criminals or embezzlers, as you put it, embezzlers or criminals, we used to get warrants. We used to have probable cause. We used to allow them to have conversations with their attorneys. We used to consider them innocent until proven guilty. Do you remember, George, you jackass? Do you remember? So you're lying again. But that's all right. That's all right. America and the world understands that you are a liar. Okay. John is calling from Akron, Ohio, another one of those glorious Rust Belt cities. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
It's going along, pal.
Oh, that's wonderful. Hey.
I remember when Akron was the rubber capital of the known universe.
Yes, it was.
I can remember when if a 10-year-old wanted a job in Akron, if he could have somehow gotten his work permit, he could have gotten it. There were all kinds of jobs in Akron.
Yeah, Mike, you are so right about that. Let me tell you something. I'm actually I'm the son of a former rubber worker. He's actually from the Deep South. He came up here in the mid-1970s looking for a job because there was nothing where he was at in the Deep South, and he came all the way up here to northeastern Ohio just to get a job because he heard Ohio was booming. It was. Akron was a sprawling city of, what, maybe 250,000, 300,000. I mean, those were the good old days. I know my high school, you could graduate, and just like you were talking about earlier, hey, General Tire was right down the street. You could go to General Tire, get a job. I mean, that was also true. Firestone, Goodrich, Goodyear. I mean, it was, you know, what they used to say about Akron was, you know, business was good because you could walk outside and smell the rubber.
Smell the rubber.
Exactly. And if you hung your clothes out to dry,
they'd all turn black.
Yeah, exactly. It was so, I mean, those were the good old days, though. I mean, I was born just kind of about the time that all started to go out. I mean, right now, I mean, we've lost the big four tire companies, though. They're all gone, but Goodyear, and I think Goodyear's probably going to go belly up this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's sad, though. I would say, I mean, as far as the city goes now, we do have good leadership. That they're trying to turn things around, and I think Akron's fair. Much better than, say, Youngstown.
Yo, Youngstown is another miserable. Oh my God.
Like, they went, I think since 1970, their population has gone, like, from about 130, 120 all the way down to about 82,000. Canton is bigger than Youngstown at this point.
And this is a shame. For people who don't know, John, the cities that you are naming were mid-sized cities in America's heartland.
They were. Did you know Cleveland used to be the biggest city in Ohio.
That's
Cleveland
right.
had 915,000 people in 1950. Now they're not even half that. Columbus is number one now.
And, practically every worker, there were an awful lot of Eastern Europeans who came, a lot of Southerners who came north, as your dad did. They were all unionized. They all had jobs.
Oh, this is the union. I think this is still the union capital, at least in terms of the Midwest, though. I mean, this whole area around here, I mean, especially Youngstown, but I think Youngstown, Cleveland, if you go out to Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania, I mean, they don't call this a Rust Belt for no reason.
Well, let me ask you, John, what do you think the average worker in Youngstown or Akron or Toledo or Findlay or Tiffin or any of those cities who are watching the news tonight in about 15 minutes of nightly news and they hear Bush say, well, in order to build up the economic base up here in Ohio, we got to make sure the Chinese address their currency problem? never mind.
It makes your blood boil. It does. I think about my poor father. I mean, he's worried about his job as it is now, and I know there are a lot of other guys like him, too. I mean, there's nothing for these guys, Mike, if they lose their jobs right now. I mean, they're in their 50s or 60s. They're just kind of holding on for retirement, hoping and praying to God that they can make it to the finish line and hopefully be able to retire. Considering all the deficit spending that Bush has done, it's not like there's going to be even any Social Security or anything like that there for them. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I look at Ohio in terms of party and politics and everything. You know, Republicans dominate the state. God only knows why.
Sure.
But, I mean, on a city level, it's not too bad. I mean, for all the major cities, we have Democratic governors and council, but it's just the Democratic Party is unorganized here.
Mm-hmm.
They can't seem to work together to take back Columbus and the governorship.
Right. I hear you loud and clear. But I did read today that the Ohio legislature is furiously working on a law to stop the queers from trying to get married. So.
Don't they have anything better to work on?
Well, but you see, if the gay people try to get married, that also will stop all the jobs from coming back to Ohio. So we got to stop the gay people from trying to get married because if we don't, we'll burn in hell.
Mike, I honestly do not care about any of that. I say if I mean that's
I
think
know
that's,
I understand
it's personal.
I understand
it's personal. Well, I mean, I'm just saying I just think.
But the legislators in Ohio think that this is an important thing to do. Instead of figuring out a way to override Bush policies, Bush economic policies, and try to give rebirth to.
What about jobs, though? I mean, I'm actually a college graduate. I am still looking for a job. I can't seem to get one. I'm certified to be a teacher, but thanks to No Child Behind and all that other garbage. And our wonderful Governor Taft.
Yeah.
You know about the education problem.
Oh, I do.
Taft is an ostrich. I mean, he's worse than George. I think the two of them would be bosom buddies.
I think you're right. Well, listen, stay until this is your first time calling, John?
Yes, it is.
Well, I hope you call again.
Oh, I will. I listen every night, Mike. Tell you, guys, I mean, it's just good to hear somebody who has fire and enthusiasm, and I just wish there were a whole lot more people on the radio like you.
Yeah, too bad there are not more people in politics like Howard Dean.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. Here's my prediction, Mike. I think there are going to be a lot of people, myself included, who are angry right now. I mean, we have come up in an age where they're just, you know, I mean, we see you've got people and idiots like Tom DeLay and, you know, guys like that running around spouting off their nonsense trying to run the government. I think over the next 10 to 15 years, you're going to see some sensibility come up. You're going to see a social and political revolution. I think we are going to push government back to the progressive liberal side of things, though. And there's going to be a lot of changes, and I think the Republicans, they better have fun while they can, because it is not going to last.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It is. I am right, Mike. I am right. You got to believe.
I believe. Thanks, John.
Sure.
All right, sir. I appreciate it. Yeah, you got to believe, John. It is up to the younger generation, of which John is a member. Okay, so he's certified to be a teacher. He's still a young guy, and he's right. But he's always right. It's always up to the younger people. That's why when Joan Jett is giving a concert in Iowa in some honky tonk or whatever it was, and these pissant Republican college students come in and get into a shoving match with her. I'm surprised Joan Jett didn't pull out her gun and put a hole in that one guy's forehead You know, you don't, you just don't do that. So I hope John's right. I hope that this younger generation that's out there now will fight to turn things around. I've got one kid in that younger generation, Chris. And when I talk with Chris is intent right now on becoming a firefighter over in South Carolina. That's what he wants to do. His heart is in the right place, and bless him. I deeply respect him for doing that. Chris could go into any field he wanted to go into, but he's decided to become a firefighter. And he's working in a restaurant now while he goes through the training. And I think about my son Chris, and I think I've got other kids, but they're older, and I think, well, you know, where's Chris's head about this stuff? And he tries to stay focused. He tries to say, look, I'm going to become a firefighter because I believe that. And he's a big kid, you know. He's like, what is he, Kathy? About 6'1", 175, 180 pounds, a big muscular kid. And he says, you know, I can put myself into a situation where I can help. Bless him for it. I just wonder what's going to happen with this one that we're going to have, Kathy. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm
Tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show that you have to listen to because there are no other shows on mainstream media channels. Although I do want to talk more about me and how Bush is the second coming of God, I'll take a call or two. Okay, Bill in Kansas City. Oh, you want to compliment me? Well, let's get you on the air.
I was just calling to let everybody know that on January 19th, Sirius Left Stream 145 is switching to 143. You suck, and so does your show.
I'm not sure how that call made it through our church-going call screeners, but it won't happen again. This show's about me, right, Kenneth in Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Sirius Left Stream 145 changing to 143 on January 19th is very important news, because that's where you can hear good talk radio, not the crap you're putting out.
What?
Loser.
I'm the best thing to happen to radio, and you all know that. That's right. Don't you?
Sirius Left Stream 145 is changing to 143 on January 19th. Still the best political talk radio, but just on a different channel.
Cut to a commercial and play some patriotic music. They'll be back.
No, they won't.
If jobs are the most important part of one of my jobs, how do we encourage people to hire more people?
Fire you, you moron. Treehugger emails in, Mike, if you recall, Bush said that he wants to create job training programs at community colleges for industries where the most new jobs are being created. First, don't we need jobs to train people for? Second, 90% of the new jobs in America are created in fast food and retail. So, will our college students be taking classes like Making the Perfect Big Mac 101 or maybe Responding to a Holdup at the Late Night Drive-Thru 101? Yeah. Or something like that, Tree Hugger. Also, an email here from... Is it from Jay Castile? Oh, from Jeanette. My dad worked for Owens, Illinois. I lived in Savannah, Ohio for a year or so as a child. My dad always made glass, and we lived right next door to the glass factory for years in Dunkirk, Indiana, where I was born. So noisy for 150 years, and now dead silence. Yeah, I know about those glass factories, Jeanette. I do. Rick. Mike, I'm listening to you in Youngstown, Ohio, the buckle of the Rust Belt. This town closed down on a Monday in 1978 when the mills went dark. Toledo is a metroplex by comparison. He says, amen, Brother Mike, your friend Rick, you and I may be the last angry men, liberals with guns. Boy, you got that right. Oh, my God. I never thought I would. Oh, well. Oh, well. What else we got here? Shelby Lepre, the one who I made the pitch for earlier today. Did any of you send her any money? Mike, I was born in Youngstown, Ohio. It looks like, well, pick any city in post-war Iraq. Pittsburgh, where I live now, was just declared a distressed city. That's polite talk for bankrupt. The economy is in shambles. It breaks my heart. This was a great American city. If you want to keep Shelby's website on the air, radiopower.org, or on the Internet, I should say, and all the programming she provides, not just for this program, go to radiopower.org and send her a contribution. Would you please, if you have recently, it's okay, I understand, but if you haven't, where are the rich liberals? Kathy, where are the six rich liberals in this country who could, oh well. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. On the campaign trail in New Hampshire, Democratic presidential hopeful John Kerry said he favors allowing cheaper prescription drugs into the country from Canada and using the buying power of the federal government to drive down prices. Howard Dean wants to lower the limit of individual campaign contributions from $2,000 to $250. Advisors to Dean said he would announce the proposal on Thursday before a candidate debate in the hotly contested Democratic primary. And John Edwards rallied supporters with his smooth southern drawl and touted his South Carolina roots, telling that state's voters he can win in the South. The reviews are in on George W. Bush's State of the Union address, and they overwhelmingly point out that the content of speech didn't exactly square with reality. The New York Times was quick to point out that the speech, which is by tradition nonpartisan, amounted to not much more than a kickoff to his 2004 election campaign. The Associated Press analysis notes that much of what Bush proposed in the speech will be hampered by the specter of quickly rising deficits. And notably absent in the speech was last week's announcement of Bush's Mars initiative. The Baltimore Sun said in an editorial that the lack of mention was due to the fact that the idea did not fare well with focus groups. A missile landed in the sprawling U.S. compound in central Baghdad late Tuesday, a U.S. spokesman said. Officials were investigating a report that one person was wounded. The projectile, believed to be a rocket, hit near the Al-Rashid Hotel, said the spokesman, speaking on condition of anonymity. The missile caused a loud explosion heard as far as 2 miles away at about 9:30 p.m., and immediately sirens were activated in the compound known as the Green Zone. A defense contractor that overcharged the military for helicopter parts could face a criminal investigation, a Pentagon official said Tuesday. Defense Department auditors have determined that Hamilton Sundstrand gave inaccurate and misleading information about the true cost of military helicopter parts, overcharging the military by millions of dollars. Pentagon Inspector General Joseph Schmitz is considering whether to launch a criminal probe of the United Technologies Corporation subsidiary, the Defense Department said, speaking on condition of anonymity. More news after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
A tiny Scottish firm has teamed up with a U.S. company to start the first industrial-scale production in America of Scotland's national dish, haggis. The partners believe the joint venture with a Chicago-based food processor can move 300,000 tins of the offal-based delicacy in its first year. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
One reason we know that Saddam Hussein is a bad guy, as George W. so eloquently describes him, is that George himself has told us again and again that in the 1980s, old Saddam engaged in the horror of chemical warfare against the Kurds in his own country and against the Iranians. This is inhumane, Bush noted, so that's why the American government needed to oust Saddam and take over Iraq. But which government was it that had helped build up Saddam's military and had winked at the very chemical weapons that the Bush administration now condemns? Yes, the American government, then headed by Ronald Reagan. And which American official was sent to Iraq back then to give Saddam a hug and assure him that a little poisonous gas wouldn't get in the way of the warm, fuzzy feelings that our government had for him? Donald Rumsfeld, now the Pentagon chief, who has also been wailing about how awful Saddam was to use those nasty weapons. Newly released documents from the National Security Archive show that, because of American, quote, business interests in Iraq, the Reagan government wanted Saddam to win his ongoing war against Iran. But in 1984, world leaders began to criticize Saddam's almost daily use of poisonous gas against the Kurds and Iranians, and, under pressure, the U.S. was forced to issue a public condemnation of this use. But documents show that Rumsfeld was secretly dispatched in 84 to tell Saddam that our condemnation was strictly about the general principle of anyone using such weapons, not specifically about his gassing of Kurds and Iranians. And, wink, wink, that our government's top priority was not to stop the gassing, but, quote, preventing an Iranian victory. In short, Rumsfeld told Saddam to do what he had to do and pay no mind to the U.S.'s public pronouncements about the horror of chemical warfare. This is Jim Hightower saying, today's feigned outrage looks silly in light of yesterday's complicity in the horror.
I have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Boy, some of you people are real jokesters. Reverend Debu sends me a link here. It's media.mcdonalds.com. Reverend Davis says, well, you know, to colleges and to train people for future jobs, here you go. This is about, here's what it says. The career-long learning path often leads to Hamburger University. Located in Oak Brook, Illinois, Hamburger University has become the destination for McDonald's employees around the world to learn about quality, service, cleanliness, and value. In addition, a training that's taught all over the world originates from Hamburger University's field implementation and design departments. Here are a few facts. Hamburger University was founded in 1961 in the basement of the McDonald's restaurant located in Elk Grove, Illinois. Hamburger University is now housed in a 130,000-square-foot facility on an 80-acre campus located in McDonald's headquarters in Oak Brook, Illinois. 16 full-time international resident professors teach students from more than 119 countries. Oh... The state-of-the-art facility includes 17 teaching rooms, a 300-seat auditorium, and four special team rooms for interactive education. Hamburger University translators can... Hamburger University translators can provide simultaneous translation of more than 28 different languages. How many ways are there to say... Shall I supersize that for you? Well, at least 28. McDonald's trains so many people each year that we've surpassed the U.S. Army as the nation's largest training organization. Restaurant employees receive about 32 hours of training in their first month with McDonald's. More than 5,800 students attend Hamburger University each year. There were 73 weeks of classes conducted in 2002. How did they do that? There's only 52 weeks in a year. Oh, Christ. More than 73,000 students have graduated from Hamburger University. You have to check out this website, media.mcdonalds.com. Oh, here it is. And I worked at McDonald's. I did. I worked at the first McDonald's in Toledo, Ohio, when there were still jobs for the adults. When you didn't see people in their 50s and 60s working at McDonald's, isn't that something to see, huh? That's probably where I'm going to wind up, Kathy. But at least I had experience, huh? I went to work for McDonald's when I was 15, 90 cents an hour, and all the hamburgers we could eat. That was back when they would give you free food. All right, I want to play for you again. Hamburger University. I didn't figure Reverend Debu would send me something like that. I wonder if I could get in there. What do you think, Kathy? What's the equivalent of an SAT to get into Hamburger? Sounds like a John... What's his name? Sounds like a Daily Show bit. I want to play for you one more time because Robin in West Virginia sent this in. Play for you one more time. Bush... At Owens Community College in Perrysburg, Ohio. And then we're coming to your calls. I swear to God. Lane on Long Island is next. Nick in Warsaw, Ohio. Wayne, formerly of Ackworth. Fran in Santa Fe. I'm coming. I'm coming to you in a minute. But back to this. Bush at Owens Community College in Perrysburg, Ohio today. Supposedly there to talk about the importance of community colleges and job training, the funding for which he is slashing and destroying. But first, remember, he had to take a moment to discuss his glorious Patriot Act and why Congress should renew it. Now, you'll understand why I'm replaying this in a moment, but here it is.
I called for the renewal of the Patriot Act. I want to tell you why. It is important that we be able to share information at the federal level. It's important we have the authority to be able to seize assets.
Yeah.
These tools in the Patriot Act, most of the tools we have been using for years against embezzlers or criminals... We're at war. It seems like to me it is logical that we apply tools that we've used to catch embezzlers to be able to catch terrorists.
Now, the only two nouns that he used there, I think, twice, or the only noun that he used twice was the noun embezzler. And Robin emails in, Mike, isn't it interesting that the first crime that came to what passes for Dipstick's mind was embezzler? Not murderer, not rapist, not burglar. Embezzler. A crime against currency. A crime against money. Protect the money! There's embezzlement going on! Yeah, I didn't catch that, Robin, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Crime Against Money. Jesus. And Kevin in Columbus, Ohio, says, Mike, it's pathetic. And he sends me this. Ohio lawmakers on Wednesday, that's today, approved one of the country's most far-reaching bills against same-sex marriage. And the governor says he plans to sign into law. The state Senate passed the measure, which was already approved by the House, with a vote of 18 to 15. The measure is more extreme than the Defense of Marriage Act adopted by many states because it prevents state employees from receiving benefits for same-sex partners. Ohio is poised to be the second state, after Nebraska, to enact such a provision. Nebraska's law also refuses to legally acknowledge any same-sex relationships, such as civil unions or domestic partnerships. The Ohio bill declares same-sex marriages to be, quote, against the strong public policy of the state, end quote. The strong language challenges a 1934 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that requires a state to recognize marriages granted in other states. A spokesman for Governor Bob Taft told the Associated Press the governor would sign the bill after a legal review. The Supreme Court ruled that in 1934, according to this, that states have to recognize marriages in other states. Not in Ohio! Not Nebraska, and eventually not anywhere in the United States. Got to keep the queers down. Couldn't keep the Negroes down. Couldn't keep those anti-miscegenation laws on the books. Couldn't stop the whites and blacks from marrying. But by Christ, we will stop the queers. Couldn't stop the Protestants and Catholics. Couldn't stop the Jews and the Gentiles. But we will stop the queers. Enacting into law measures that specifically and exclusively discriminate against people because of who they are. Because of how this phony-ass evangelical God created them. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I haven't. And I'm not even queer, but you know what some of my best friends are. Oh, well, it's not my issue, right? Hey, Lane is calling from Long Island, New York. Hey, Lane.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, where at in Long Island? West Massapequa?
No, further east.
Further east?
Further east.
Oh, my God, you're out in the ocean.
Not too far away.
Oh, well, that's good. Well, welcome aboard tonight, Lane.
Thanks. I'm enjoying the show. You know how when you rant about Republicans and how
yes.
you hate them? And
yes, I do.
Well, I love that. I just love that. I eat that all up. I enjoy that so much.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I understand what you're saying, because that's why I enjoyed, even though Dennis Kucinich is my candidate, I just enjoyed the hell out of Howard Dean the other night when he was going, and then we're going to Michigan, then we're going to Ohio. I just love that. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It almost made me into a Dean supporter,
yeah.
Which I may become eventually, but, man, I love that. I love to see that. I love to see the fire. Show me the fire. I've got enough rain falling into my own life. Show me some fire. Show me a storm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. I totally agree. I love that. You know, because these guys are just so evil that, you know, you got to bring the hellstone and brimfire or whatever off.
Right, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
But the reason I called is I wanted to share a quote with you and the listenership.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is like the greatest quote of all time, I think.
Oh, man. Wow. Hold on a second. Well, I don't have a drum roll. I was going to give you a drum roll, but this is the greatest quote of all time. Let her rip.
Okay. Now, I have to preface it for a second.
Oh, well, if it were the greatest quote of all time, it would need no preface.
I know, but I need to preface it.
All right. Well, maybe it's the second or third greatest quote of all time.
Okay.
All right.
But the problem is that we face is that the truth is neither plain nor simple.
Okay.
The truth is subtle. And to get at the truth, you gotta dig, you gotta learn. It requires learning.
Right.
And of course, in our culture dominated by sheeple, you know, learning and thinking critically and questioning is not really taught
mm-hmm.
or promoted. And, you know, the right wing and their rhetoric have the advantage because they can twist facts to their advantage, and they can make things up, and they can lie, and yet sound authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheep will say, well, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And
hey, this isn't all one quote, is it, Lane?
No, this isn't the quote. I'm just, you know, building up to it.
Oh, okay, I got you, I got you.
And, you know, and then, you know, people just don't question it. They just accept it. And,
that's right.
You know, so the right has the advantage in over us because we're trying to, you know, expose the truth, but it takes, you know, education and learning.
Right.
So here's the quote. It's now, this was written in 1942.
Hey, can I get you to hold on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
The great buildup. I love the buildup.
Okay.
And in 1942, the quote, and we'll have the quote as soon as we come back from... as soon as we come back from the break. No, I guess we got time. Go ahead. Let's hear the quote.
Okay, this is the quote. The civilized man has a moral obligation to be skeptical, to demand the credentials of all statements that claim to be facts. An honorable man will not be bullied by a hypothesis, for in the last analysis, all tyranny rests on fraud, on getting someone to accept false assumptions. Any man who for one moment abandons or suspends the questioning spirit has for that moment betrayed humanity.
Winston Churchill.
Nope.
FDR.
Nope.
Your grandfather.
No, it's very obscure. The person's name is Bergen Evans, and it's from a book called The Natural History of Nonsense.
Natural History of Nonsense. Well,
yeah.
I don't understand that part. Hold on a second. Now we do have to take a break, and we'll come back and finish this up with Lane in just a moment. And your calls, too. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Tom Hartman Show.
JR in Victorville, California is on the line.
In California, there's a group called California Budget Project. They did a survey on the hourly wages for all groups, public and private. The highest paid group in California on an hourly wage base is government employees. They average $20 an hour. Well, in all industries, it's $15.38, so they're $5 an hour over the average worker in California. But the thing that doesn't make sense to me is if we're in control of the government, they not only get to tell them what to do, they make more money than he does. It doesn't sound like we're in control at all, does it?
What this has demonstrated is the benefit of unionization for government employees. And you and I together, JR, we should be working to provide those kinds of unionized benefits to all people in all industries in America so that everybody can make as much as the people in that fully unionized industry of California government employees makes.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
Conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour, I'm talking with Lane in Long Island, New York, about this great quote in 1942. That was a good quote.
Thank you.
That was a good quote. How in the world did you find it? From somebody named what again?
The author is Bergen Evans. B-E-R-G-E-N.
Bergen Evans.
And it's from a book called The Natural History of Nonsense. But I actually got the quote from someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually from another publication, and I saw this quote, and I thought it was really great. And
it'd be fun to do a Google on, what's his name, Bergen Nelson?
Evans.
Bergen Evans.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I should do a Google on that.
Yeah, see what.
But, yeah, I think it's a great quote, and I thought it would be, appropriate.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, thank you, Lane.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care.
Keep up the fire.
Thank you, sir.
I'll talk to you later.
I hope you will.
Okay.
From Long Island, Lane. From Warsaw, Ohio, our singing listener, Nick. Hey, Nick.
Oh, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Nick. How are you?
Great. Burger University there, we may need that since Bush is opening up all these markets on the moon and Mars, you know?
That's right, Hamburger University. You know, they didn't have that when I worked for McDonald's, and that really upsets me because I do not have a college degree, and I would have loved to have had at least something. And Hamburger, you know, I worked for McDonald's in 58 and 59. I missed the opening of Hamburger University in 1961 by only a couple of years, but I just wish the hell I could have gotten a degree from Hamburger U. Something
we'll
put on the
wall. Well, go there now, and maybe you can get a BLT or something.
BLT.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Anyway. I wanted to talk to you about an important piece of legislation that is trying to work its way through Congress.
Yeah.
And it's being held back by one of our stellar congressmen here from the state of Ohio, a jackass named Bob Ney. He's the head of the House Administration Committee. He's got it bottled up in committee.
Uh-huh.
A fellow named Rush Holt from New Jersey introduced a bill that would mandate that all voting machines have a verifiable paper trail.
Yeah, I remember. I think we talked about that on this program. So this guy is trying to stop that?
Yeah, he's got it bottled up in committee, won't let it out. And,
well, why? You'd think that honest, God-fearing Americans would want to know that the voting tallies were correct, right?
Well, yeah, you think.
Oh, this guy's a Republican. Oh, he's a Republican. Never mind, he's a Republican. I forgot. He's a flesh-eating Republican. My mistake.
Oh, yeah, he's a real good butt boy, too. He's These guys really need Ohio, and five counties have already gone to the touchscreen voting.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them it's up to the individual commissioners whether they're going to adopt them or not, I think. But already five counties have accepted these fraudulent machines. So, but if I heard a lot of people from Ohio, thank God for John's optimism in Akron, near my old hometown.
Mm.
But I heard a lot of people from Ohio were listening tonight, and Nay's office number, if anybody wants to gets ticked off enough to call him.
Oh, put it out.
Yeah, it's 202-225-6265.
225-6265.
No, 202-225-6265.
Yeah. 222-6265 with the area code 202. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So call him and tell him to take his bill and ram it into a body orifice, or be more polite. I guess be more polite. Please, please, Mr. Congressman Nay, don't vote for this bill. Please, sir, we would like a paper trail. May I have a bit more, sir?
Yeah.
Oh God.
I tried sending it to veterans groups. I don't know what kind of response that got. I didn't hear anything back from them, but I tried sending out the an email that I got with the information on it to some veterans groups around here. So
mm-hmm.
I would think that vets would have a hard time with somebody, you know, trying to have you shed blood and everything.
Sure.
to defend the voting system. That
you'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd think.
We can wake them up.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks for the info, Nick.
Okay.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
One radio journalist makes a show out of her distaste for waste. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Betsy Rosenberg had worked as a reporter for San Francisco radio station KCBS for over 13 years when she realized she wanted to report on more than just the day's events.
7 years ago, I decided I didn't like doing the news anymore. I'd just had a daughter and was beginning to think it was a time in my life, that it was time to give something back and do something that was more meaningful and, frankly, less depressing than fires, floods, murder, and mayhem. And it was about that time that I had my environmental awakening.
Rosenberg said she had a waste prevention gene that had always caused her to disdain garbage. Her husband urged her to ask KCBS to create an environmental radio program. It would focus on recycling, energy conservation, and other environmental issues.
And I said, well, that'll be the day. They won't go for it. And they kind of did. They couldn't argue that we didn't need something like that, but there wasn't a lot of money to pay for it, so I basically do it as a nonprofit labor of love. But I love it, and it's been 6.5 years, 1,300 original green minutes later.
Rosenberg's radio spots, called Eco Talk, focus on practical ways to live more in tune with the environment.
Don't just lip it, live it. That's what I say. It's not going to do any good to talk about it. It's how you live your life. And granted, it's not easy to be environmentally friendly in our culture, but it's becoming easier, and it's critical. I don't think there's anything more important.
Eco Talk runs 9 times a week on KCBS in the San Francisco Bay Area. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh.
This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. 800 Talk Yes is the number. Fran is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Fran.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you, Fran?
Oh, pretty good. I've been disappointed that Kucinich and Gephardt have not had more support, because they are the only two that have really come out strong to change our present situation as regards jobs. Way back in the 90s, Gephardt voted against NAFTA and GATT and against the WTO and against favored nation status for China.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich has not been in the Congress long enough so that he could have voted on those bills, but his position has been to also, like Gephardt, to repeal NAFTA and GATT and the WTO. Dean, on the other hand, is not the solution. At the debate here in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, Dean stated that he would not repeal NAFTA and GATT and the WTO.
Do you suppose that's because, and remember, Kucinich is my favorite candidate at this point. Do you suppose Dean is saying that because he understands that the President of the United States cannot just negate or end these trade agreements, these globalization? I don't think. Now, I know that a president has the right to end treaties if he chooses to, or someday in the future she chooses to. But I believe Congress had to approve these laws, right? These the General Agreement on Trade and Tariffs and NAFTA and all this globalization stuff had to be approved by our Congress, didn't it?
Yes, it did, and signed into law by the president.
Okay, so maybe Dean, and again, I'm not defending or attacking anybody here. Maybe Dennis Kucinich, my guy, is merely saying that he would lead an effort to make NAFTA either take it apart or take it apart and put it back together again in a way that is more humane and more respectful of environmental laws and labor laws. And maybe Dean is saying, look, nobody in the White House can do that. Now, if there was a veto-proof Congress, where if there was a President Dean or a President Kucinich, and at least 60 members of the Senate would vote on issues that the President wanted, not veto-proof necessarily, but filibuster-proof, then those things could be done. You see what I'm saying? Dean may be the more practical one here in his response, and Kucinich is my guy. You understand what I'm saying here, Fran?
I do. Okay. However, I don't think that is the case.
Okay.
Because there has been lots of opportunity for Dean to have clarified what he meant, if that's what he meant. And even during the debate, there would have been time for him to clarify that also.
Mm-hmm.
But he has never never come forth and said that because of the way that the the Congress operates,
mm-hmm.
that he would move to do that, to repeal NAFTA and GATT. He only said he would not repeal it.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We can only take them at their word.
That's very true.
And so he is a status quo person. He wants to preserve the status quo. He's not a person that is truly concerned about workers. Another thing that I just heard on the news during one of the breaks is that Dean has now stated that he would favor reducing the contributions limit for individuals
mm-hmm.
from $2,000 to $250 per person.
Right.
Well, that's all well and good, but he certainly did not promote the democratic process by opting out of public financing.
Okay, I have to ask you something, Fran. Why? I'm not trying to necessarily challenge you here, but why are you attacking Dean?
Because I think we have other better candidates.
Okay, then why not, and again, I'm not trying to attack you, I'm just looking for information here. Why not present the positions of these better candidates rather than specifically attacking, you and I do not have any idea why Howard Dean decided, so did Kerry, decides to opt out of the public financing thing. We think they did it because Bush has put together so much money. The Republican Party has so much money that some of these Democrats are saying, look, I can afford to opt out, and I'm going to have to opt out because I've got to fight this bastard if I'm going to win. So I don't see it as all, and Kucinich is my man. I am supporting Kucinich, but I'm just wondering, even though I could support Kucinich, I don't specifically go after these other Democrats. I will say things like I think Lieberman is a joke, but and Carol Moseley Braun doesn't have a chance, and Al Sharpton, I will never forgive him for the Tawana Brawley thing. But why go after specifically and focus down on Dean? He may be the nominee. Are you going to vote for him if he is?
Of course, but I don't think that he will be the nominee, and I don't think he will do right by
okay,
us.
Okay, and I think
he is the nominee. Now, to finish my thought, with his public financing and his opting out, the comments now, and I just heard this on the news too, mm-hmm. the comments and the evaluation of Bush and his State of the Union speech are that his words don't square with reality. Well, the same can be said really about Dean.
Well, now, Fran, I've got to stop you. Come on now. You are going so far overboard here as to render your conversation kind of meaningless to people who are listening.
No.
No, hold on. Excuse me. You cannot compare the lies and deceptions and falsehoods put out by George Bush to Howard Dean saying, well, let's reduce it from 1,000 to 250 because he, you know, and why didn't he stay in the public political campaign financing? Come on now.
That phrase can be applicable to both.
Okay, but the point I'm trying to make to you, Fran, for God's sake, don't compare Howard Dean to George Bush.
Do you know that your previous caller just spoke in his quote that you thought was eloquent and to the point about?
Yeah, but the quote was in 1942, and it didn't name Howard Dean. It didn't name anybody. It was a general. Oh, come on, Fran. Did you call me up to pick a fight with me?
No, I'm just stating my opinion.
You're stating your opinion, and I'm saying to you, why do you want to attack a Democratic candidate, a possible Democratic nominee? Why not just talk about the good stuff that you see in your candidate? Why do we Democrats always do this? Why do we stand there and beat the living hell out of each other? Why are you doing this?
I think it is important for, before we choose a candidate, that we all engage in critical thinking and that we evaluate the candidates. It is a comparison of one to the other.
All right.
We have
to
pick the best one.
That's true. That's very true. All right, Fran, I want to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks a lot. Didn't mean to hope I didn't irritate you. I just don't quite get that. I just chalk it up to my inexperience, something. I don't know. God. All right, what is this? Who sent me this? What, CNN is going after Edwards now? Is this a big deal story?
Despite being credited with breathing life into his presidential bid by pushing positive themes, Senator John Edwards' campaign circulated a confidential briefing book earlier this month that instructed supporters on how to attack his Democratic rivals during the Iowa caucuses. Oh, my God. The nearly 50-page document, of which CNN obtained 10 pages, tells his campaign captains in Iowa precincts to describe former Vermont Governor Howard Dean as, quote, an elitist from Park Avenue in New York City, end quote. And it says Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, quote, can't claim to change America because he has been part of the failed Washington politics for too long. End quote. Oh, my God, do you understand, America? How just, oh, my God, do you realize what CNN has uncovered here? Edwards told reporters in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that he did not know about the book. Edwards said, quote, I found out about it tonight for the first time, and I take full responsibility for anything that happened in my campaign. It's wrong, and I have given them instructions. It is not ever to happen again. End quote. The document offers a particularly detailed critique of Representative Dick Gephardt of Missouri, the former White House minority leader who withdrew from the presidential race after his following a fourth-place finish in Iowa. Under Gephardt's leadership, the document says House Democrats, quote, lost control of Congress in 1994 and lost four more times since then. We can't afford another national campaign against George W. Bush and the Republicans. End quote. Oh, my God. Do you understand what this means? America, do you understand? Edwards had a campaign book. Oh, Jesus. Somebody in his campaign put together a book. Oh, and it had pages and words written down on it and stuff in there. And things to say. Oh, Christ, what are we going to do? Well, I guess CNN is... Did John Edwards say something to piss off CNN? Is CNN... Why doesn't CNN's political unit address George W. Bush's lying campaign to kill 505 Americans and to kill 8, 9, 10, 12,000 Iraqis? Why doesn't John Mercurio, who is with the CNN political unit, who wrote this story, why doesn't he go after, oh, I don't know who, Richard Pearl? How's that? How about Dick Cheney? John Edwards had a 50-page document, and we got 10 pages of it. And, oh, dear God, it says right here that John Kerry of Massachusetts has been part of the failed Washington politics for too long. Oh, Christ, preserve us. All saints, step down and rescue me, Mother Mary. I don't know what to do here. It's just astonishing, isn't it? The book also claims that Wesley Clark undersold his past praise for Bush's national security team. Oh! I've already said it once tonight, haven't I? Okay. Well, let me modify. Have I told you lately how much I hate CNN? So what does this mean? I don't know. Has John Edwards said anything about deconsolidating media? Has John Edwards said anything nasty about AOL Time Warner that owns CNN? Has John Edwards said something bad about Lou Dobbs?
He's got a book! Oh, my God! He's got a book, and there's words written in it. And it says that... It says Wesley Clark, it says Dick Gephardt, it says John Kerry.
Oh, my God. Don't you wish the hacks, the worms at CNN would devote 1/1,000th the effort in tracking down John Edwards' campaign book, 10 pages of which they got, just 1/1,000th, 1/1,000,000th of that energy into exposing the murderous, filthy policies of this criminal neo-Nazi that we have in the White House, George W. Bush,
and his goose-stepping thug friends. Wouldn't you think maybe just once CNN, could you please, for God's sake, just once? How about MSNBC? Could you do it? How about all the time you spend with Scarborough and Chris Matthews and all these people? CNN, you know, Darren Kagan is just a gorgeous woman, but for Christ's sake, do we have to listen again and again to the fact that she's going to be on the red carpet at the Golden Globes? Can't you people do something, please, please? What saint do I have to call on? What religion? What beads do I have to rattle? What tea leaves do I have to consult? What kind of a pipe with what in the bowl do I have to smoke? Just tell me, please, CNN, please, MSNBC, please, ABC, please, CBS, somebody tell me, what do I have to do to get you to go after the real murderous thugs and criminals in this government? Why do I give a damn about John Edwards' political playbook, of which you have found 10 pages? Oh, Christ. Oh, my God. Okay. Just took me a minute there. Wayne, formerly of Ackworth, Georgia. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Mike. I'm just upset beyond belief. I mean, you know, the majority of us folks voted for somebody that at least had a modicum of intelligence.
Yeah.
That's just disgusting. And, you know, the other thing that kicks me is I'm an old dog. I've been through this trip more than once. You little IT professionals out there, you know, bite me, okay? I've been through this for a long time. I've jumped through so many different hoops and so many different jobs. I finally got to a point and I said, you know, they can't send these houses and these buildings out of the country to get them painted.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll do.
But guess what they did to you, Wayne?
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, hold it a second, will you? I got to do a break.
Oh, okay.
All right, hold on just a minute. I'll come back as soon as we finish this quick break. Stay with us, truth seekers.
John Edwards had a political playbook. Oh, saints preserve us.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost
lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Seip from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And so, in my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it,
whatever you want to call it. Yeah, okay. Back to Wayne. Used to be. Where are you now, if you're not in Ackworth?
Oh, I'm just down the road a little bit.
Okay. Down the road a little bit. All right.
Yeah, just a little bit. Where are you getting the sound bites from?
All over the place. We have a music editor, Jim in Arkansas, and Kathy, and a lot of people send us music. And you talking about the music?
No. I'm talking about these, the idiot and the chief.
Oh, that's my excellent producer, Catherine.
Cool. I'd like to tape those and carry them around with me and play them for people.
Well, some of them are at my website. But, okay, so they can't export your job, so they import people to take your job.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as it goes, this idea of a medical savings account, thanks a lot. I'm not making enough money to begin with. What the hell good is it going to do me? That's about as good as school vouchers. I mean, you know, get up off of it, man. You're sitting here feeding me a line of crap, and you continue to cut the social services, and the ones that you don't want to fund anymore, you want to throw them to the church. You know,
You tired of it yet, Wayne?
I'm beat with it, but here's your here's your going out tune. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready. Hey, Wayne.
You know that one, don't you?
No, it was just gibberish.
Sorry. It's
No. No, don't do it again. Oh, God.
It's Zappa, Mothers of Invention.
Okay. I couldn't even tell. It doesn't work when you just bring it up close to your
Sorry about that.
Telephone.
I need a better audio system. But second cut in on Mothers of Invention.
Oh, okay. Well, that's certainly an old CD.
And if nothing else, just spin my favorite, which completely correctly denotes exactly who we're dealing with, War Pigs.
War Pigs?
That's always the best.
Yeah, it is. It's a good one. Well,
listen Mike, I'll try to get to you when you got a little more time next time.
Thank you, Wayne.
All right.
Hang in there.
Evening.
Keep smiling. Makes them wonder what the hell you're up to. Thanks, Wayne. Can you play that just a little bit more of that Pink Floyd? Oh, you can't? We're out of time? All right. We're always out of time. Program produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeBeloy.com. If you haven't been there, why not? Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thanks to everybody participating in the program tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really Nancy?
Banjila mm-hmm. is
right,
like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that.